In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Time for this week's edition of Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10. Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams of The Main Edge joining us here in studio. Good afternoon, Mr. Adams.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. You had a nice weekend?
I did. Our dear friend Jason Preble and Jen Dunham tied the knot on Saturday.
And they said it would never happen.
I know. Like it was a long time coming. But, you know, it was a beautiful weekend for it down on MDI. I was part of the bridal party. And so I spent my Saturday afternoon being bussed around MDI wearing my bow tie and suspenders and getting my picture took.
Now, Jason, of course, part of our focus group improv team. Was there any improvisational component to the ceremony?
What I heard was Jen flat out told him she would walk away.
There'd be none of those improv shenanigans here.
Yeah, like I flashed a little bit during I spoke briefly at the reception and I flashed a little bit of that, but nothing like it was not necessarily the direction you would expect young Master Preble to go as far as bringing improv into the ceremony. Although he did take great pride in his vows, which were very good. Hers were very touching, and it honestly took me about 20 seconds of standing there before I was a weeping mess because.
Nice. Because that's you.
Well, I'm easily manipulated emotionally anyway, and when you're involving people that I care about, it's just like I'm gonna wipe my eyes and try not to snot all over my clean shirt and just get me through this so I can get to where the bourbon is.
Nice. So with all that on your plate this weekend, you still found the time to see a movie or two?
I have managed to see two.
Wow.
Actually, yeah. No, I was lucky enough to be able to get to see one Thursday night, and then I saw one Friday afternoon. One of which was pretty good. The other one was really pretty terrible.
Okay. Well, you decide the order. We're here just to listen.
Well, we'll start with the one that was actually pretty good. I went to see Alien Covenant, which is the latest in the Alien series. Now, let me make sure I get this right. It's the second in the prequel series, but it's the sixth overall.
Okay.
Because this is a sequel to 2012's Prometheus, which was a movie that a lot of people hated on. I didn't hate it as much as a lot of people did. I actually kind of liked it. It had its flaws, but whatever. I will say that I feel like in a lot of ways, this movie is the movie that the fans wanted Prometheus to be. In a lot of ways, if that makes sense, it's set 10 years after the events of that previous movie. You've got this the colony ship Covenant is on this years long journey to a colony planet, and for the majority of the trip, like, everybody's in suspended animation. The only person operating the ship is this sort of android named Walter, played by Michael Fassbender. He's basically a later model of the synthetic humanoid from Prometheus, also played by Michael Fassbender. So you've got that going. But there's an accident, and so the crew has to be woken up early. But there's an incident during that sequence where the captain inadvertently gets killed, which means that the second in command, played by Billy Crudup, has to take over. Over the course of the repairs, one of the other crew members named Tennessee, played by Danny McBride of all people. Mm. Yeah, Danny McBride is in this movie, which is kind of crazy. But there's this mysterious signal that's clearly human, like human made, but it's coming from a place that hasn't been, charted anywhere. Mm. And so the new captain decides against the advice of his second in command, played by Catherine Waterston, that they're going to go investigate because, that's what you do. In hopes that this planet would shave. Like, if they could settle here, that's seven fewer years they have to spend in space and blah, blah, blah. But this being an alien movie, that's clearly a mistake. they wind up going to this planet, while things initially seem like they're promising, it all begins to spiral out of control very, very quickly. I'm not going to go into too much detail because I don't want to spoil it. Just know that things get gruesome in a way that only an alien movie can get gruesome. And I feel like in recent installments, they've kind of scaled that back a little bit, the sort of Cronenbergian body horror aspect of it. That's back with full force.
This is a movie that
earns its R rating, which is pretty great. I think what I liked about this movie was the fact that it really found that sort of balance point between advancing the overall like narrative arc while also returning to those sort of bloody, brutal, spattery kind of things that really made the first couple of movies so impactful, like that sort of sci-fi horror balance. It's a better movie than Prometheus was, so even if you hated that one, I think you're safe to come back. I really thought this was engaging in a lot of ways. Fassbender actually gives a fantastic performance for a performance rendered even more fantastic by circumstances that, again, I'm not at liberty to reveal for fear of spoilers, but just know that he works very hard in this movie, and he does a great job. Crudup's okay. Waterston's very good, but ultimately it's a movie about Michael Fassbender does the heavy lifting, and the really remarkable advances in computer generated imagery because it's just it's a stunning movie to look at. Mm. So yeah, if you're a fan of this kind of movie, you will not be disappointed by Alien Covenant.
All right, very good. That's one. The other one, perhaps not so good.
Okay, so there's been this trend in the last, call it 10 years or so, this sort of rush to bring any even moderately successful young adult book to the cinematic realm. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. And the lion's share of these, I find, come down into one of two categories. You have either... the dystopias where young people must rebel against an oppressive system and save the world. Or you've got the deeply sentimentalized love stories where at least one of the parties is horribly, horribly ill, like terminally ill.
Oh, God, yes.
This new movie, Everything, Everything, based on the novel of the same name, very much falls into the latter category. You've got a young lady by the name of Maddie Whittier, played by Amanda Steinberg, who... She's a teenager, lives in Southern California, and she has this crazy autoimmune deficiency. It's a clearly made up disease. But she, it's one of those bubble boy diseases where you can't go outside, or if you catch something or an allergic reaction or any of that stuff can kill you.
But it didn't stop him from loving her.
Oh man, you have no idea. Okay, first of all. It's explained away that she can like be in this. She's not in a bubble. She's in her house, which is somehow hermetically sealed. I'm not sure that the science to do that exists. But her front door's an airlock, so I guess it's fine. Her mom is a doctor, and so is her primary care physician. So there's that problem solved. Mm. She has a nurse the nurse and the teenage daughter, who are basically the only people other than her mother she interacts with in person. All other interactions take place, on the internet or what have you. But then a new boy moves in next door. Rich.
Oh, how convenient is that?
His name is Ollie, and he wears all black, and he's very mysterious and thoughtful, and he rides his skateboard in front of her window and waves at her and stuff. And so obviously they establish weird, write stuff on paper and hold it up to the window communication. Oh
no,
my God.
No,
it's ridiculous.
I love you, bubble girl.
Then he eventually gives her his number so they can like text and do all those sort of teenagery things. obviously because this girl has literally never dealt with another human being of the opposite sex, she instantly falls in love with him because that's what happens in these movies.
Yes.
But he also falls in love with her because he's troubled and he wants to, fix her or something. It's unclear. But anyway, so they start having this sort of weird, long distance, only short distance courtship. Suddenly things start to change a little bit. And, she starts wondering if maybe it's worth taking the risk to step out so she could, be with him and this and that and all of that nonsense. And she has to decide whether, you know, whether this love is enough to make her willing to risk it all.
It sounds great. I can't believe it doesn't work.
It's brutal. And it's the thing about it is the girl's actually, like, she seems like she's fairly talented. Like, she seems like someone who could actually be, you know, who's actually a fairly good actress. It's just she's kind of saddled with having to shoulder the load in what is really just a ham-fisted, whole riddled narrative. It's ridiculous how little sense a lot of this movie makes. And then you've got this dude who plays Ollie. His name, the actor's name is Nick Robinson, is his name. And he's got all the sad eyes and the floppy hair. And it's like, seriously, it's like they took a golden retriever and like turned it into a person. It's like, honestly, like if you took like the biggest, goofiest dog, you know, and put like a bandana with a skull and crossbones on it, you know, so it's like
goth
so,
dog.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, oh yeah. Like, oh, the black crossbones is dangerous, but it's a dog, you know, so it's non-threatening. Hmm. Like it's like faux danger. And that's exactly what this dude is. So you put these two together and obviously the sparks fly. And ultimately, I just
does her bubble burst?
Well,
I don't want to give it away. There are three people that might go.
Yeah, right. You know, it's like a, you know, spoiler alert, but there's more to it.
What?
I know. It's just it's ludicrous. It's all ludicrous.
I'll be honest. As bad as it sounds, if you spoil it for someone, they deserve it.
And yet, you know, and I say this because I teach freshmen every day, I can see a lot of my students going, oh, it was so good. I cried through the whole thing.
Well, and it's just God. Like,
look. She's in the bubble and she couldn't get any love. He's like a golden retriever, except in goth clothes.
Look, I'm in favor of really pretty much anything that gets kids to read a book. Like, you know, by all means, like, I don't care how, like, you know, I grew up, I cut my teeth on stuff like Matt Christopher. Like, it's not great literature. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's reading.
But it's reading, and that's important. It's when you take those stories and try to translate them to the big screen, thus meaning that I have to go see them.
Yeah.
You know, that's when the line is, that's a bridge too far, Rich.
Well, yes, I understand.
So, yeah, so everything.
It's an occupational hazard.
Oh, man. More like nothing.
Alan Adams, talking movies every Monday here on Downtown and Pass the Popcorn. By the way, you want to hear any of Alan's reviews, share them with a friend. It's pretty simple to do. Now, it's incredibly simple to do. You go right to the website, downtownwithrichkimble.com, and click on movie reviews. That tab at the top gets you access to all of Alan's cinematic wisdom.
Yep. The good, the bad, and the oh-so-ugly.
Yes, all of it is right there. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Thank you, as we so often say, thank you for watching them so we don't have to.
Somebody's got to do it, Rich, and I'll be the one to fall on that sword.
Yeah, and you drag Sheridan with you.
Yes, sometimes I do.
So only for my own benefit, does Alien Covenant cover any new ground? For someone that was a huge fan of the first two movies and felt like there was nothing in movie 3 or 4 and didn't like Prometheus a whole lot, is there anything new that is like going, oh, gee, that's a good movie on its own, not just because it's leading up to?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes. First of all, the short answer, yes, it is. I think it is a good movie, and it stands alone to the degree that Sheridan went with me. She hadn't seen Prometheus and isn't a fan of the franchise in general. And she had no problem following along with what was happening. So there's that. There's a little bit of the overarching mythology in there, maybe not as much as you might like, because they're clearly moving towards, you know, establishing the connection between this new trilogy and the first Alien movie, because that's, you know, that's where it kind of comes together. However, I think they're very pleased with how well these movies are doing financially. And so I think the amount of new information we're going to get is only going to get less as they get closer and closer. Think of it as like Zeno's paradox, where it's like the arrow just continues moving halfway to the final goal and halfway. I think it's going to be a fairly long time before we actually get there.
What's coming out this weekend that you get to see?
Oh man, it's actually a couple of movies that I'm looking forward to. I think they're both going to be terrible. I think one is going to be enjoyably so. Baywatch comes out this weekend, and the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, the hackers didn't choose to distribute that first?
I mean, maybe they did. I don't know enough about how the internet works to be able to find those sorts of things. but yeah, Dead Men Will Be Telling No Tales this weekend.
All right.
Yeah, we shall see.
I have a modicum of hope for Baywatch.
Oh, I think, like, I'm going to enjoy the crap out of Baywatch. I don't know if it's going to be a good movie or not. Frankly, at this point, you could put The Rock in anything, and I think it would be a good time.
Yeah, yeah. That he does carry movies.
He does, and he's
entertaining to watch.
He is. He can't look away. He's great.
Yep.
Now you mentioned Jason did not incorporate anything in terms of improv into the wedding, but did you remind him about the wedding night and to use those rules of improv?
I actually
agreement. Yes, and
my brief speech basically equated the whole idea of being married to the notion of yes and agreement and heightening.
Ah, very
so,
nice.
Yeah, no, that's and again, I
and
kept...
no arguments and no transactions on the wedding night.
Well, you know, I mean, do what you want. Like, I'm not gonna judge. But I would assume that no money is changing hands.
Never know. Never know. Hey, do what you want. Have a little fun. Look, you can. As we learned last week, you can spice things up any way you want, even if it means tying your wife to a tree out in Hamden.
Love it. Yeah,
that's just do it on your own property.
Right. Yeah. Don't cross the property line, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Maybe have some no trespassing signs up just to play it safe.
Possibly a good idea. Alan, thank you as always.
Of course.
See you on Wednesday. It's Alan Adams here on Downtown Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor.